From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Francis Alonso reporting. Russia's defense minister has announced the nation's forces and those of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad have stopped bombing the northern Syrian city of Aleppo ahead of the eight-hour humanitarian pause planned there on Thursday. Jeff Custer reports.
The pause in fighting, initially announced Monday by Moscow, is designed to allow civilians to leave the battered city, along with people who are sick or wounded and rebels who want to get out. United Nations spokesman Stéphane Dujarric said the international body welcomes the Russian announcement.
We will use whatever pause we have to do whatever we can. Obviously, there is a need for a longer pause in order to get trucks in, but obviously any pause is welcomed by the UN and by the inhabitants of Aleppo.
A new aerial bombardment Monday in Syria flattened residential buildings in a rubble-controlled village in the northern province of Aleppo, killing at least 23 people. Jeff Custer, VOA News, Washington.
Meanwhile, Syria's First Lady, Asma al-Assad, said she rejected multiple offers to flee the country with their children. It came in an interview with broadcaster Russia 24 that aired Tuesday. The comments were part of Assad's first interview with international media since Syria's revolt erupted in 2011 with demands for her husband's ouster. Germany, France, Russia, and Ukraine will hold a summit in Berlin Wednesday. They are to implement the evaluation of the implementation of the Minsk peace accords for Ukraine. The United Nations has announced a new ceasefire in Yemen beginning early Thursday. That development came from the UN Special Envoy for Yemen, Ismail Ukcek Ahmed. This is VOA News. The Taliban and senior Afghan government officials have held two secret meetings since September in Qatar in a bid to restart long-stalled peace negotiations, according to sources Tuesday. An official in the National Unity Government in Kabul said that two rounds of discussions took place in Doha. The development comes as more than 350,000 Afghan refugees have returned home from Pakistan this year, according to UN data. The torrent of people crossing the border is expected to continue. Some 30,000 Iraqi, Kurdish, Peshmerga, and Sunni tribal fighters paused Tuesday on the second day of an assault to retake the northern Iraqi city of Mosul. The pause was requested by the Kurds for more time to achieve their objectives. The air and ground assault was launched early Monday from multiple directions. The UN resident and humanitarian coordinator for Iraq, Lisa Grand, expressed alarm over the fate of the civilian population in Mosul.
We would expect that up to a million civilians would try and leave the city. Of the million, upwards of 700,000 people would need some kind of shelter. They would be unable to reach villages, or they wouldn't be sponsored. They would depend upon us to be in a camp or to be in a tent or to receive some kind of direct assistance.
Meanwhile, France is to host an international meeting on the political future of Mosul on a Thursday. Three staff at an Indian hospital have been suspended after a deadly blaze in the intensive care unit, according to authorities Tuesday, as a toll from the disaster rose to 20. Akhila Bihari Ota is a local official.
Right now, there are 100-odd people who are getting treated at various hospitals. We are trying to see that, you know, the best of treatment is provided to the people who have been admitted, and we hope nothing wrong further happens.
The fire may have been started by a short circuit, but there's been no official confirmation. 5 days after Bob Dylan was named the winner of the Nobel Prize in Literature, no one knows how he feels about the award, not even the judges. The Swedish Academy says they haven't been able to reach Dylan since the award was announced last Thursday. They hope he will accept the invitation to collect his award during the annual ceremony in Stockholm, December 10th. The International Olympic Committee chief and Tokyo's governor Tuesday agreed to work together to cut skyrocketing costs for the 2020 Games. The agreement comes as reports say the IOC would consider moving some of those venues to South Korea. Tokyo's top official warned recently that Japan's capital could be forced to downsize or relocate those venues in a drastic cost-slashing move. I'm Frances Alonso.
That's the latest world news from VOA.